And welcome to Fourth and Fantasy, the first video. My name is Hancho.
Siriaco right here, man. This is the first one. This is the start of something special.
We've been talking about it all off season, and tell them how this kind of got started.
Well, our good friend Max, we were in another group chat, and we were chatting about fantasy football all off season, dynasty football all off season. I mean, I started dynasty leagues this year right after the season. I started working from home. I was super bored, and I must have joined about 10 dynasty leagues this off season. So we all got into a chat, and then Max put me and you in a chat because we were side talking, and we started talking about a podcast, and here we are.
Yeah, man. I think I just started playing Dynasty last season, and then
last season.
Well, yeah, literally last season.
How'd you get into so many leagues so fast?
Tell me about it, man. Because first, I started off with one, and I was on ESPN for the longest time. I started playing about 3 years ago, and loved it. But then someone was like, "Oh, won't you come join my Dynasty league?" And I was like, what is that? I've never heard of Dynasty in my life. Loved it off the bat. You had first round picks. You had, you know, a lot more depth into it. So, true, after the first season, I was like, let me hop in more. And I always thought, you know, there was more out there. There was how many, you know, leagues or sizes of leagues you can be in. There were different types of league, best ball. I wanted to know the whole nine. I just jumped into 42 and went to 1-42 wild business. So here we are, and hopefully as an audience, y'all love us, and we're going to be here to grow. This is what we just love to do. It's a hobby, but we're literally in fantasy almost every day, if not every day.
Oh, we talk shit fantasy all day. Every day.
And if y'all need to know, Cowboys fan here, here's my feelings to say, we're gonna be all right. We might not be, but to the death of me, Cowboys fan. And I'm also a Falcons fan since I'm from Georgia.
Who that? How about them Saints? Now we have just ended the season after game two.
Not looking too good for you guys right now.
It's looking about as well as I expected. I didn't think we were going anywhere. I had no expectations. So the two games to start the season, that was a mirage, and I've quickly forgotten that. And they're starting to bring out the bags on heads at the dome. They have Drew Brees retirement ceremony, and they got blown out in that game, and everybody left after halftime during the right after the ceremony. It was so embarrassing. Drew Brees was in the box talking to the announcers, and they were just getting scored on, right, you know, throwing interceptions, getting scored on. It was so embarrassing. Like, bro, how are you gonna get your ass kicked that bad on Drew Brees night? That should be like homecoming. You have to like schedule, you know, put it on the worst team. Do it when you're playing the Carolina Pandas.
What kind of confused me. And before we get into our first topic, do you think it was if you looking at Rattler, you think it's been a fair assessment for him just because the offense is banged up, your offensive line is banged up, the play calling hasn't really been there? I think the team might be giving up on Dennis Allen here. What do you think?
I mean, in his first start, he was throwing to practice squad players. The line hasn't been able to block for anybody. It's part of the reason why Derek Carr's out. The team has basically, the defense has quit on the whole team. I mean, we gave up like 180 yards to Sean Tucker, who nobody knew who that was. You know, 3 weeks ago, he was barely on anybody's radar. Mm. You know, the Saints just give up record performances every week. So, yeah, definitely start everybody against the Saints until they prove otherwise. But no, there's no fair assessment at all. They just got Olave back. Shahid's been out. Juwan Johnson sucks. Like, he's not that sleeper tight end we thought he might be. He's just basically an undrafted guy who should have stayed undrafted.
Literally.
Bub Means, Mason Tipton. Who are these guys? They cut A.T. Perry, who looked like he might have a talent. Have a little talent because, you know, the coach didn't like him. You know, let's follow the coach because he knows.
Yeah.
He knows best, you know, guy that can't, you know, that's, you know, never been to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're a shit show.
Does Dennis Allen make it to the end of the season?
Yeah, he would have been fired already if he was getting fired. What better time than, you know, after they got embarrassed on Drew Brees night?
That is true. Know, that is very much
they've
true.
Lost six games in a row, and he's still as secure as he was, you know, to start the season. Mm. He's not getting fired. I mean, I can't dream of a scenario that would be so bad that he would get fired, because those scenarios have already happened.
And y'all already in cap hell. So, like, what can happen? What's the worst that can go?
We're just going to keep kicking this thing down the road, and we're going to be paying $20 million to guys that are retired. It'll be like the Bobby Bonilla contracts. We're Sound just like going to keep kicking that can down the road.
On our first topic of the pod, over the week 8, it was tight ends day, and boy, oh boy, did that position make a comeback. At first, it was looking a little scary. I didn't think, you know, I put a lot of hope when I traded for a lot of these Mark Andrews shares, and he was stinking it up.
It was pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah, so had me very nervous. Had me starting Zach Ertz over him, and that's no shade to Zach Ertz. He actually had a really good day too. But man, did the tight end position, as they set a record 17 TDs in week 8. Crazy.
15 different guys scored. 15 different guys scored. And you know, I truth for this guy at the top of the list. I know, you know, a lot of people fell off of him. But he's been in tough situations and he's been injured. Kyle Pitts beasted for 2 long touchdowns.
Yeah, he did.
On Sunday. Oh, man, that was so beautiful to see. I know a couple times he's been tackled right at the 1-yard line. He's been real close to having that day. We're not going to talk about that fumble because that was ruled a touchdown. And the refs know what they're doing.
I almost lost it when I told you when he I hate when guys do that. Like, just get in the end zone. Celebrate after you get a little bit of pay dirt.
Why it's always the guys that don't get there that do that? Like, you got to get there first. Like, you're not scoring enough touchdowns to be showing off like that.
It was – and I'm happy it went in the Falcons' favor, because that would have been the most boneheaded – I think at that time, you know, Baker, you can never count out Baker. And he's been one of the most pleasant surprises. I won't go off on too much of a tangent on Baker, he's QB1 this season. Who would have seen that?
Well, speaking of Baker Mayfield, another tight end that's going off for the last few weeks, a guy I wasn't high on, but Cade Otton scored 2 touchdowns as well.
Oof. Man, I think we all kind of hooped on Cade Otton this offseason. That's all we ever heard was he's not going to be a factor. But if you looked at the playoff games, he was actually killing it. So now that Mike Evans is down, now that Chris Godwin's down, he has no other choice but to get Cade Otton involved into the offense. And man, did he get him involved this weekend.
It looks like he's the chain mover. 10 targets at 9 yards, about 9 yards of reception. So he's definitely the guy that's helping that team, you know, keep drives alive.
And then you got the guy who did my team the worst, George Kittle. 6 receptions on 7 targets, 128 yards, and 1 touchdown. And I blame Donovan Wilson. The whole game until up until the third quarter, we had Donovan Wilson on Kittle. And boy, was he taking his lunch money. I tell you, he couldn't cover. And it might be Dunzo. Dono might be Dunzo. He can't run. Kittle was literally just, man, that was basically his whole plan. You had Debo with fluid in his lungs and Kittle, literally it. And they beat us off of that. I don't understand.
Kittle's got to be the tight end one in the redraft right now, right?
He has to be. And he might be just tight end one in general just because how tough he blocks his ass off. He runs after the catch. He's just a gritty. He is what a tight end should be. So they're going to need him. San Fran is going to need him to step up.
Well, he's always been a guy that put up numbers when he's been targeted. Mm-hmm. You know, in recent years they've had other targets that took some of that target pie away from him. But now that Ayuk is hurt and fluid lungs Debo with his busted ribs, that guy plays so hard, but he's always banged up. But you know why he gets hurt, because he's a truck and he runs into people. But he's the last guy standing that can really keep that offense moving. So wheels up on him.
And then the last top five that cracked the list, Trey McBride with 9 receptions, 11 targets, and 124 yards on the day. Boy, was the Arizona offense having a day with him and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I got so much McBride. To me, he's my dynasty tight end one. And I think that having Marvin Harrison there should open up, open up targets for him, should open up coverage for him. And as that offense looks like it's starting to get its act together, he can definitely go on a run now.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I honestly don't have enough of McBride as much as I should. He wasn't somebody, and I never thought he wasn't going to be okay or really good. It's just that the price tag on him it wasn't as big as Laporta, but it was dang near almost. And I didn't want to pay that much. I didn't know how he was going to, how that offense was going to look. And sometimes Kyler is back there just throwing it up. So he's not always involved. Sometimes, Kyler misses him behind, being a smaller stature and having a bigger offensive line. But I think they're hitting that stride. I think that they're trying to figure out how to get their guys, the right guys, the ball. And they still have James Conner back there that can, that workhorse. So I think that Arizona offense only has room to grow.
Yeah, when you say Kyler's running around there, I always think about somebody made an analogy that he looks like a little kid, like almost like a toddler that got away with something, that's running away from their parents.
I couldn't see it.
That got their hands on something they're not supposed to have.
Exactly.
That they're running all over the house. Like their hair's on fire. Yeah.
Yeah, it's but no, to his test, he's out there every day. He's a warrior. And, I think that, once again, that offense is just going to keep growing. As long as they keep looking towards Marvin Harrison, they stay healthy, they're their own worst enemy. So we'll see how that one goes. But let's go to the next topic. We had a trade today. Deontay Johnson going to the Baltimore Ravens. Oof. I didn't see him getting traded twice in a season, I tell you that.
There were rumors that he would get moved. I didn't see it happening until they sat him this past week randomly. Because once they sat him, it was like the writing was on the wall. They're not going to play him get him hurt and lose his trade value. So I didn't believe they would. I thought they should hold on to some of their talent because they need to throw to somebody. You know, if they get a new quarterback next year, he'll need targets to throw to. And Diontae Johnson is one of the best separators in the league. I think he's gonna really help Baltimore's offense as a whole.
Yeah,
maybe more in real life than fantasy. I think most of the targets in Baltimore, they take a little bit of a hit with his addition. But he's another guy that the defense has to account for. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't play everybody on the line because now you got two separators on either side of the, you know, of the offense, along with, you know, tight ends that can eat up space in the middle.
Yeah,
that's a very dangerous offense right now.
I believe so as well. And I think, as you said, in real life, I think this is going to be a boost to everybody. This might not help your parlays. This might not help your fantasy team. But I think that it's going to open up a lot of things for Zay Flowers. It's going to allow him to go to the slot. I think it's going to open up things for Andrews, where I'm not here to crap on Bateman, but sometimes if you take out Zay Flowers out of that offense and Andrews is not going, he's not having the day, that offense can get quite stale in the passing offense. So I think you have somebody who, in DJ, who's a natural separator, something that Bateman's getting better at this season, is going to be good for everybody. Now, we'll see if shares, you know, the target, there's going to have to be targets that go around now. Who gets less now? Who, I think that's going to be Bateman off the rip. But I think that will allow Zay Flowers to move around more in that offense and be that playmaker, like a Jaden Reed in the Packers offense almost.
Yeah. I definitely think, you know, having two separators is, you know, it can only help Lamar Jackson. It's going to help King Henry because, you know, there's not going to be as many guys in the box. So that offense is going to score some points. You know, good luck figuring out who's going to have the spike weeks. So right now, I believe that Zay Flowers, Diontae Johnson, I think they're strong flexes. I think that Mark Andrews is still going to be a tight end one. If you got Mark Andrews, you're going to start him every week. You're not going to find too many better options. And, you know, wheels, you know, all the way up for King Henry and Lamar. They're going to just keep smashing.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
The defense is terrible. Hopefully they stay terrible. So Lamar and that whole offense need to keep scoring points.
Hasn't it been a joy watching Lamar involved this season? It's like
he won the MVP last year and he's playing so much better than he did last year. Like last year he carried that whole offense and he had an elite defense. This year it's just like video game. I mean,
oh my goodness,
there is not a better addition to a team than King Henry. That's like it almost feels like he was meant to go to Baltimore. He embodies Baltimore and the kind of guy they needed. Like he's just a perfect fit for that team.
Jerry Jones, if you're watching, I'm glad you didn't sign King Henry. He wouldn't be doing this. You would have ruined it. You would have ruined this man's season. I'm looking, Jerry.
He doesn't look good. He don't look good in the Cowboys blue.
That man is killing it, like putting up video game numbers. And once again, that offense was damn near meant for him. They love to run the ball. It's downhill. Once he gets going, it's over. And then you got to worry about either Henry getting it or Lamar tucking it, and he can take it to the house. So that offense is right now, the sky's the limit. Now they just got to work on gelling, you know, and working together. But it's going to be, when we get to the end of the season and it's playoff time, there's going to be no excuses. I say that.
I got a question. What would you pay in a dynasty league for King Henry right now.
Oh, that's a first. A first, 100%. You can, if that's anyone,
first get it done.
He
is the league winner.
Yes.
Guys, he is the league winner.
Do you give up? I mean, I'm one of those people who did trade Henry before the season.
And you traded Henry to me. Thank you.
I have quite a bit of shares of Henry, and I have him in a big money league, and he's my weapon. I 100% love him, and he's going to be that one. When it comes championship time, you're going to hope that you have a Henry type on your to ride you off into that sunset.
Let me tell you about my longest running home league. Before the season, I had CMC and Jonathan Taylor and not much else at running back. I needed another guy just to feel safe. So I traded for King Henry for first in Kamani Badal. And when the season started, CMC got hurt. Puka got hurt. David Njoku got hurt. AJ Brown got hurt. Yeah. I had about four or five of my starters go on IR, and I'll be damned if Lamar Jackson and King Henry hasn't carried me to six wins in a row in first place.
Man, who are you telling? I think I have that stack in about four leagues, and they literally riding me to that sunset. I'm telling you, I don't need nobody. I wouldn't even need to start anybody else. Just give me Lamar, give me Henry, and we're going to that chip.
That's 50, 60 points weekly, depending on your scoring format.
Oh, yeah. So I would definitely pay. I would even over. If I'm a contender, because I don't see you being a rebuilding dynasty team and going for Henry at this point. But if you're a contender, I would overpay. I would do a first. I'm not even playing games. I would play a 2000 first and probably lump in maybe a 2005 third. If I'm really pressing it, 2025 second. Hey, I just sent Jonathan.
I think a first and a second might be the price at this point.
I paid what? Jonathan Taylor to y'all. I paid Jonathan Taylor to you for what?
Two firsts.
For two firsts.
25 and a 26.
So Derrick Henry, I feel like, isn't too much further from Taylor.
But when I deal with you, you're going to get attacked because I know you're going to finish at the end of the first round with your pick. So. You're going to get a contender tax on it.
Oh, yeah. 100. So,
speaking of,
well,
we went for most valuable. How about the least valuable fantasy player in the league? And he may have just gotten benched.
Yeah.
Doing a little segue there.
Yeah, listen, I don't know. I feel like that is your guy, isn't it not? Isn't that your man's? I feel like you've been riding the hype train.
That's my dude, man. You know, you tell me you're gonna give me the most athletic player at any position of all time. I'm riding with that guy. I don't care. Don't tell me anything else. You give me the most athletic person at my position, you know, size, speed, specimen. I'm going to make it work. I don't know why the Colts couldn't make it work. You know, maybe it's something to be said about the Colts organization.
And then, viewers, if you can't tell who we're talking about AR. Anthony Richardson, Mr. I tapped out because I was tired. He has been benched. Or Joe Flacco, Mr. 40-year-old himself. I believe he's only 4 months older than the head coach of the Colts, which is quite crazy to say.
Yeah. I mean, the offense looked a little bit better. I mean, to me, this was never a year where the Colts were going for a championship. This was the rebuilding year. I'm not sure what they're doing with the offense. I mean, you got a young guy, and there's no easy outs for him. Like, there's no easy plays for him. Like,
yeah.
You're running, you got an all-pro running back, and you're not giving that guy 25 carries. Something's wrong with that. I don't know why Anthony Richardson dropping back 30 times in games. That shouldn't happen for a guy who supposedly as raw as he is. Like, you're setting him up for failure. He's getting no help from any of his wide receivers save Josh Downs. Michael Pittman was injured about 4 weeks ago, but for some reason he's still playing with a devastating back injury. I think that may be part of it too. He's been, you know, playing like trash.
He's a warrior.
He's a warrior, but if he can't get open and he's dropping passes, then maybe they need to put somebody else in. Maybe an AD Mitchell should get some.
But then you throw AD in there, and he dropping passes, and then Alec Pierce is dropping passes. And I do agree with you. I do say that their game plan hasn't been to the benefit of Anthony Richardson when you do have Jonathan Taylor. Once again, he did, I believe, just come back last week.
He did just come back.
So you're still trying to get him, you know, ramped up and that running game going. So you don't want to throw too much on his plate. But there's no reason why Anthony Richardson needs to be throwing 30 times. That's not a good winning recipe for him right now at this stage of where he's at in his development. And I don't know how benching him is going to do for his mental. He's already, once again, hey, you're retired. Lie next time. Don't tell the truth. You could say my knee hurt, something got tight.
None of these athletes tell the truth. Never tell the truth.
But you as a quarterback, your offensive line is out there busting their tail. They're tired too. And you could have
don't say that.
You know, it's just lie next time. Or just don't say nothing.
I'm pretty sure that's what got him benched, if we're being honest. It wasn't the 30%, the 32% completion percentage. It was the asking out. He should have said he felt something in his knee pop. But, he had put some dirt on it and went back out there. Don't say you're tired, and don't do it to the media. Don't tell them. They're looking for these stories.
Oh, yeah. And then now we have the next one where it is Tracy, who had a killer game yesterday. And he is my number one most rostered player in a dynasty. I always knew throughout the offseason, and when I first put on his tape, I was like, this man is explosive. And when I found out that he's only been playing the running back position for 1 year and that he was a receiver the previous, I was already on board. All I heard was PPR king. He was RB7 in week 8.
Yeah, talk about a guy that saved a lot of dynasty teams. You know, this guy, you could get him in the third round, you can get him in the fourth round. There were some drafts when I picked him up in waivers after drafts. And all he's done is produce since he's gotten touches. I mean, he's been really, really good the last, I want to say 4 weeks.
The last month. Yeah, the last month of the season.
Yeah, so 145 yards, 7.3 against Pittsburgh's ferocious defense, along with a long touchdown. He had a slow game in the game against Philadelphia, 6 for 23. But I believe that was the first game that Singletary came back. So he did split some of the carries there. Cincinnati scored a touchdown and 129 yards against Seattle. So, I mean, he's been carrying a lot of people's team for the last 4 weeks. For a guy that, you know, wasn't one of your top draft picks, and, you know, you may even activated him off your taxi. So, saving seasons right now.
He is, and I hate because he's a giant. I wanted my Cowboys to draft him so bad. He was one of our 30 visits. He would have looked so good in the Cowboys
unit. Why did the Cowboys not bring anybody in?
because Ezekiel Elliott, and that we just started using last week. I don't know what the game plan is. And also the thought I had in my head was they think and they know that this 2025 RB class is going to be legendary. So just wait one more year. You're going to pick up yourself a really solid running back for the next 4 or 5 years of your organization.
I mean, but in the late rounds, there were a lot of guys there. You could have got a Tyrone Tracy. You could have gotten an Isaac Grundo. You could have gotten a Kamani Vidal that's shown a little promise in limited touches. There were guys there that definitely should be on the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, 100%. The fifth-round pick that we sent to get Trey Lance, the amount of running backs that went after that pick, crazy. We could have had Braylon Allen on our squad. But no, we're working with Zeke. We're working with Rico Dowdle. There's no hate to them. It just, our offense looks stale. It doesn't, and we have Dalvin Cook. We got a bunch of old guys and an average, decent running back. And our offensive line coach sucks. So,
yeah, I'm a name person, so I don't know how much I could trust a guy named Rico Dowdle. It just doesn't sound like a beast running back. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I got a weird name too. So,
but maybe Ashton.
I don't want anybody starting me at the running back.
Yeah. No, maybe Ashton Jeancey sounds better.
Could be, but I mean, are you going to draft a running back in the first round?
No.
With all your needs.
We have way too many needs, way too many problems, and unfortunately, he would look good, but that'd be a waste of a pick. And I think Jerry would do it just to get us to shut the hell up, honestly, for a splash pick, you know. And he loves Boise State players, but you know, if it does happen, love it. I think we have bigger issues. We can get a different running back in round 3 or round 4 or round 2. So, no, I think where we are hurting at running back, we'll probably solve that in 2025. But for this RBs this year, I think it's too late to get Tracy. And if you are going to try to get Tracy, you can't spend anything less than maybe an early second pick. I wouldn't even take an early second pick. I'm going for a first at this point because he's going to be, if not already, taking that RB1 position from Singletary, and he's going to just keep thriving. He only had 57% of the offensive snaps and put up the work that he did. That's crazy. So, Tracy's a start for me, and I'm mad I didn't start it. I started in my $75 league. I started Troy Franklin over Tracy because I thought Sean Payton was going to do something for me. I still won, but yeah, Tracy, yeah.
Was it just me or did everybody eat except for Troy Franklin in the Denver game?
I was so upset because it was like, you see him. I thought he was hurt at some point because I think through the second or third quarter, he didn't have a catch, and they gave him a carry, and then he did have a long pass from Bo that went right through his hands. I'm not starting Troy again. I'm only started Troy Franklin just because Chris Godden snappity whapped his ankle. Speedy recovery, my G. And J-Mo literally suspended in the middle of the season. I'm down to the britches. I think, and we were literally talking about this last week. The key word for this dynasty season is depth. You're going to need depth to make it to the championship because guys are getting hurt left and right.
And I believe this is going to be a thing going forward because now you only have 3 preseason games. Nobody is playing in any of these preseason games. So regular season games are now preseason games. That's why you see so many people going out with hammies, you know, leg injuries. And it kind of snowballs. And it's like every week we're like, Jesus, who's going to get hurt this week? Am I going to even be able to field a team going forward? Because I know a lot of a lot of you fantasy players out there are hurting. You're losing, you know, you got, if you got four IR spots, you probably filled up that whole IR, you know, positional. All I can say is work those waiver wires, make little small trades, you know, try to get a guy a week early than a week late. You know, that's why I went after Tyrone Tracy, because I knew one more blow up game and you're paying a first for him. You know, young backs, they go up in value exponentially fast,
especially, you know,
based on performance.
Yes, sir. And I think that's a good pivot. So now we're going into week 9. At this point of the fantasy season, what do you think people should be doing right now? If let's say right now you're 500. Should you be contended? Should you be trying to make some trades to see if you can squeak into the playoffs? Or at this point, just wrap it up and see what you can get?
I'm going to tell you, not every 500 record is equal. You know, they got people that have 500 record that have gotten what I call schedule wins. You know, you played somebody when they had their worst week. You played, a couple rebuilders in the first 8 weeks. You know, you've just gotten lucky. You have to be honest with yourself and really look at your team and try to figure out, am I a contender? If you're not a contender, I'd freaking rebuild it. No, there's no value in being in the middle. So I would, there's several things you can do. You can look at max points to see if your team's actually scoring points, or you're just kind of getting lucky. You can go to websites like Dynasty Daddy, and they will dynastydaddy.com, and they'll tell you if you're a contender, you know, generically, you know, based on other people's rankings, you know, that way you can get like another opinion on it if you're not sure. But you know, if I felt like I had no shot at winning the championship, if I had so many injuries, my team just wasn't that good, I'd start selling off old parts.
Oh, yeah.
Look for contenders. Look for contenders that are loading up. Get their first, even if it's a 26 first. Just get whatever pick they'll give you. You want to get out on some of these assets before they become nothing, and they will help out other teams. But on the other hand, if you feel like you do have a realistic shot, maybe you've been unlucky. Maybe you've gotten people that have scored the most points they've scored all season against you in quite a few weeks. Then you've just been unlucky. So eventually that luck turns and you'll start playing other teams that are dudding out, and you should make the playoffs if your team's that good. Then I would, you know, then you have a decision to go all in. Then I would be aggressively looking for the rebuilders and selling that first, selling that second, selling the young player. But you have to diagnose your team and be realistic with yourself. Can you actually win money?
Yep.
If you can't win money, I rebuild.
Yep. For me, I've already, I can personally tell if I'm going to rebuild a team. Yo, if after 3 games I'm out, you can tell at that point. For me, at least, I feel like you can tell that it's going to be a long season for you. Now, majority of my fantasy teams, and I've taken over some orphans, and for me, anytime I take over an orphan, I'm already automatic rebuild. We're off to the next
right season. Off the rip,
because I'm going to sell any type of value that I have, and I'm just going to build a team. Because typically, when I take an orphan, I don't even like the team anyway, so I'm going to change it to how I want. But if I'm contending, I'm looking at pieces that I can add that would, right now, I would say even depth pieces. Earlier in the season, I traded Brandon Ayuk for Chris Godwin and J-Mo. And that, for numerous, about 3 weeks, was looking like I killed that trade. It was really good. It was working out for me. Chris Godwin was having amazing weeks. Now he busted his ankle and J-Mo suspended. And also now Brandon Ayuk just busted his knee too. So it's kind of, once again, depth is the key word. Go get those players that you know that can be serviceable to you in the playoffs just in case anything goes down. I traded for Ramondre countless times from week 2 to week 4. You can go out. It might be too late to go get DeAndre Swift. To get DeAndre Swift was the time he was stinking it up the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Would have been the time to go get him. So
buy low.
Yeah, go get those guys. Buy low. People would have been saying buy low on Marvin Harrison. I don't know what's a buy low. I did stay on Marvin Harrison for, I believe, 3 first round picks. No, it was 2. Excuse me. It was 2 2005 first round picks, and I ran with it. So it was, you know, it was the 101 and I believe the 104 I was getting for MSJ. So that is my tip to you guys. It is, if you're contending, look for those rebuilding teams that are looking to dump their value players. I start my rebuilds quite early because I want to get out ahead of the crowd. You're the first person to reach out to your league mates to make trades. And also, one thing that we preach over here is don't burn bridges in your leagues. Even if someone sends you the craziest, laziest trade ever, you don't have to just get disrespectful, talk down their throat, whatever. You want to keep them in your back pocket because you never know when you're going to need to make a trade.
Well, those people, you know, either they think you're dumb and you're going to accept whatever they send, or they just might not be very smart about trading and they don't understand value. So if you can keep those conversations going, every once in a while, they'll send you something where they're losing value and then you just smash accept. Another thing that I do, if I'm buying low, I'll send out blanket offers in multiple leagues. Like one of the things I did earlier in the season when he still was losing a little value, he wasn't performing up to par, was I sent a blanket first round pick, mostly in leagues where I had an extra first round pick for George Pickens. And now I see people are trading Ayuk in a first for George Pickens. So it just goes to show you how fast value changes.
Do you think that George Pickens' value, I was one of those people who did very much trade for George Pickens this offseason. Go Dogs. I'm a big George Pickens fan. I think his potential is through the roof. Now that Justin Fields has been benched, do you think that his performance on the field value will continue to go up, stay still, go down for the rest of the season? You think Justin Fields even comes back as a starter?
He's not. He's not at this point. No, not at all. Not unless Russell Wilson gets hurt or drastically underperforms for multiple weeks, because he's shown too much in these first two games. That offense has gotten to a place that we haven't seen Pittsburgh's offense get in a long time. I will say I still don't 100% trust Arthur Smith. I think he's a bit of an asshole when it comes to fantasy teams. We all remember what he's done to, you know, various people on the Falcons for years.
You don't got
to
remind me, yo.
So I don't trust him at all. And every time the ball went to Van Jefferson, I got kind of angry. Every time the ball went to Calvin Austin, I got even more angrier. And I'm like, you know, you got a gazelle out there that's, you know, can get moss pretty much anybody on the other squad. I don't know why you're not getting this guy 10 targets a game. So I think there will be hills and valleys. I think there will be spike weeks, but don't put him in your starting lineup and expect him to be consistent every week. I feel like, to me, the way I acquired him to be a flex so that if he duds out, you know, it's not going to hurt me as much. Mm-hmm. He spikes, he's a weak winner.
I agree. And the last bit of our pod, of the first one, and I would just like to say this has been so much fun. This being the first one, and we've got many more to come. This is just the beginning.
There's a lot more of us, too.
Oh, yes. This is just two. There's five of us, and we're just at the moment we're getting going. But yes, there is more of us right now, just us two. And we will be shooting every Tuesday, and we will be shooting on Sundays, doing live videos on Sundays right before the kickoff of the games, just to, you know, chop it up with you all, give you a little bit of insights of the week and what to look for the next. But before we end our first one of the, you know, the first pod, let's talk about the waiver wire pickup of the week. And he's on the team that we were just talking about, that of a player who just left. Jalen Kocher, the man of the week for the Panthers. Man, and crazy fun fact, he is from my high school. Yes, he is. So I'm mad at myself for not having enough of Jalen Kocher shares on my fantasy teams. Man,
he was so free in the offseason. He was just sitting there saying, "Hey, can you just like put me on your taxi? I'm free right now." Yeah, so I'm actually really mad at myself because I have about 5 or 6 shares. I had about 80% rostership, but I didn't think he made the team to start the season, and I got bad camp reports, so I cut him in spaces to pick up guys that I've definitely cut already. If you want to give you a second and let me read you off this scouting report from Derek Brown of Fantasy Pros. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing. You think you have an all pro when you hear this, some of these attributes. Kocher utilizes variations in pacing routes, head fakes, jab steps to invite indecision in the corner. He has great hip sync. Start-stop ability is great. He isn't a burner, but he does run about a 4.5. Great body control. Solid hands. Mm-hmm. And the player comp, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but the player comp that he has for him is Rashi Rice Light.
Oof. And if you have ever watched one of Steve Smith's YouTube videos and when he breaks down wide receivers, he literally said Jalen Kocher is the best route runner in his class. So that is a big shout out from one of the greatest to ever do it. And Steve Smith, I wish I would have took more, you know, leap on that word, because it would definitely, once again, comes back to depth. I think Jalen is going to be one of those sneaky guys. He was wide receiver 17. So yeah. I think that's going to be even more.
And one last tidbit before we sign off.
Yes.
This is the last 4 games he's been the top receiver on his team, which I believe is what made Deontay Johnson expendable. 5.2 yards after catch per reception. And this is the last 4 games when he's finally gotten touches. Tops in yards per route run and tops in ADOT. So he's really killing all of the advanced stats for that team. He looks like the wide receiver one for that team, at least statistically. Let's hope the touches follow suit and you may have a league winner right there. So get your hands on him.
All right. And that is the waiver wire pickup of the week. And once again, this has been a pleasure. And we will be back on Sunday to give you guys a live video before the games. Once again, I hope you all have a great rest of your night.
Thank you for joining us.